Our first scripture reading for tonight will come from the prophet Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, reading from verses 2 through 7. Since at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor thou hast broken on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It's the word of the Lord. Our second scripture reading for tonight will come from the Gospel of Luke. It is Luke's story of the birth of Jesus. And we'll be reading from chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through verse 20. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here on this special night. I know that you could have been doing other things at this time. You could have been wrapping your presents and doing your last minute shopping, but you've chose to be here. And I suspect that you've chosen to be here because you know that this night is not really about presents. This night is about something greater than that. It's about the giving of ourselves. I was reading something this week about a young theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was imprisoned during Christmas. And he wrote in a letter from his prison cell that out of all the Christmases, this one had to be the most special, the one that he, where he was in prison, because he had nothing to give but himself. And that's all we have to give. In the final analysis, we have to give ourselves. So thank you for being here on this wonderful night. Tonight is Christmas Eve, and I love Christmas Eve services. I love every worship service, of course, but as a pastor, it's the special worship services that helps sometimes to shake us from whatever rut we might feel ourselves in. And Christmas Eve, for me, is one of the most special services. It is truly a beautiful service with the candles and the decorations and the singing. And I think we like Christmas Eve services because they occur at night in darkness. I remember in my first church, we didn't have a Christmas Eve service because I suspected that people were afraid to come out at night. But there's something about candles flickering in the night that is quite appealing and beautiful. And one of the things I like to do on Christmas Eve is to ride around the city and to look at all the lights flickering against the night sky. I think another reason that we all like Christmas Eve service is because they are about a baby. And we all like babies. There's something special about receiving a baby in the world, a newborn babe. Babies are small bundles of joy and hope and promise. And every baby is God's gift to us. Babies are God's gift of a future. And you can tell how wise and discerning a society is by how it receives and cares and nurtures the gifts of babies in their midst. But the writer George Eliot, who wrote in one of her novels, "A child more than all other gifts that earth can offer is it to declining human beings, brings hope with it and forward thoughts." Every baby brings with it forward thoughts. Thoughts about the future. Promise about the future. Of course, the baby that is born on this night is the greatest baby of all. He is the greatest gift of all. He is the light of the world. He is the one who has come to pierce the darkness of our world and the darkness of our lives to give us a future, to give us God's future. And this baby who we have been waiting on throughout this season of Advent is none other than God, God's self. He is Emmanuel, God with us. It's what makes this baby great. I realize, of course, that there are those who would object to the notion that the child that we are waiting on tonight, the child that is to be born tonight, is in any way great. On my shelf is a book. In fact, I bought it here tonight. It's a book by the late Christopher Hitchens entitled, God is Not Great. And when I first read this title several years ago, I got a little bit angry and a little bit grumpy because that's what people who write such books want us to do, to get mad and grumpy and get a little bit combative. They enjoy that. But the more I thought about that title, the title of this book, the more I thought to myself, you know, he's absolutely right, at least to some extent. Because the child who was born on this night as God with us, the child who was born on this night as Emmanuel, is not great. At least not in the way that the world thinks about greatness. And you know how obsessed we are with greatness and with winning and with outshining everyone else. If you want to know who was great, considered great when Jesus was born on this night 2,000 years ago, if you want to know what was great, it wasn't hard to find. Caesar was great, the Roman Emperor Augustus. He had only to issue a decree, and it would send ordinary people like Mary and Joseph scrambling throughout the empire in order to obey his decree. Augustus was considered to be great. Quirinius, the governor of Syria, he was great, a man of authority. He was also considered to be great, though his greatness was derivative from the greatness that came from Caesar. Herod, the king of Judea, was great. In fact, his name comes down to us through history with the word greatness in it. He was known as Herod the Great. And of course, Rome was great. The pinnacle of civilization, the great military power, Rome was great. And so when people, when Jesus was born, thought about the light of the world, these were the kind of people and the kind of places that came to mind. They certainly would not have thought of someone like Jesus. This little Jewish baby, born to a poor teenage mother in a little out-of-the-way place called Bethlehem in a smelly manger filled with farm animals. No one in their right mind would have thought anyone born into these kinds of circumstances would have been some kind of light. I wish I could tell you that the story that we are telling about this baby was born tonight was one of those Horatio Alger stories that we love so well, the story of a young poor baby who through dint of hard work and determination was able to overcome the odds and become one of the luminaries of his society. But that is not the case. Jesus will grow up to be one of the most, to die one of the most ignoble deaths of anyone by those who were considered to be the luminaries of his day. And yet, 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, you and I, along with thousands, tens of thousands of Christians around the world come together on this night. And we don't come to light the Augustus candle or the Quirinius candle or the Herod candle or even the Roman candle. Instead, we come here tonight to light the Christ candle in celebration of the birth of Jesus, the true light of the world. And what makes Jesus the true light of the world is that he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the one who comes to show us the true heart of God. Yes, God is not great in the way that we think about greatness. God doesn't come to be with us this night as a great, big, powerful potentate. Instead, he comes as a little baby, vulnerable in his weakness. He doesn't come as some kind of conquering hero, leaving death and destruction in his wake. Instead, he subjects himself to the death and destruction that are our characteristic trading cards. He doesn't come to condemn us and tell us how horrible we are. Instead, he comes to love us and to save us. He doesn't come to build a great big wall between ourselves and God. Instead, he comes to reconcile us to God and to one another. In short, he comes to show us what it really means to be a human being. Human beings made in the image of God. I was watching the other day, a couple of weeks ago, perhaps as many of you were as well, the funeral of George Herbert Walker Bush. Certainly a great American by the standards of the world, a former president and vice president, a man who spent years in distinguished service to his country, the greatest country on the face of the earth. And mention was made during the funeral of a phrase that he kind of coined, 1,000 points of light. He had used that phrase originally in his campaign for president in 1988, but he used it a little later during his inaugural address as a way to bring the country together. And he enjoined his fellow citizens to become points of light, to go out and serve and to volunteer and to work to make their communities and neighborhoods and cities and indeed the world as a whole a better place to live. That, of course, was a long time ago when our presidents used to bring out our better natures instead of appealing to our basest fears. But I was surprised to learn that this was not just campaign political rhetoric on the part of the president. It was discovered after his death that he had been sponsoring for many years a young Filipino child. He had been sending money for the child's education and upkeep and even money to supply the kid's upbringing in terms of food and clothing. A true act of kindness. And I can't help but think that when the former president got before the pearly gates, that the thing that was remembered was nothing that he did as president of the United States. That God wasn't concerned about his great accomplishments as president. That God was not concerned about the years he served as vice president or years he served in the CIA. That God was not concerned about the great policy initiatives that he had undertook. But the thing that caught God's attention was this act of kindness to this young child halfway around the world. I don't usually like to quote Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings, but I'll do so tonight. In one of the movies, he said, "Some believe that it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I have found it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary people that keeps the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love." That's what it means to be a point of light. That's what you and I are called to be as the church, as God's people. We are called to be points of light, reflecting the glory of the great light that pierced the darkness on this night 2,000 years ago. For this night is not just about Jesus. It's not just about the birth of the baby that we've been waiting on. But this night is about our birth as well. It's about the birth of joy and love and kindness and beauty and justice in our own hearts. It's about us, too, becoming human, as Jesus himself was truly human, God with us, truly human. This is the night where our Lord and Savior comes into the world to show us what it means to be made in the image of God. And that's why I love this night, this glorious night, this wonderful night, this night when Jesus comes into our midst to shine forth the glory and the beauty of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, as the darkness has descended upon this day, you have not left us without hope. As the darkness has sometimes come to fill our hearts, you have not been ungracious to us. For us, this day, a Savior has been born. He comes to save us, not in the way that we anticipate being saved. He comes to save us not with tanks and guns and bombs. He comes to save us not by dividing us from one another. He comes to save us not by promising to make us great again in the ways that the world comes to understand greatness. But he comes to save us by showing us your very heart, the heart of your great love for each and every one of us, and your great love for the whole world. We thank you for this night when your light of love pierces our darkness. And we ask that you help us too to be reborn on this night, to be people who are birthed in your love and graciousness and peace and joy with the whole world. And it's in his precious name that we pray here tonight. Amen.